With our guest tonight, Sean David Morton, Delphi Associates. Sean puts out a pretty good newsletter, by the way, that you can look at on his website, which again is DelphiAssociates.org, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Sean, do you sometimes change your predictions before they occur, adjust them a little bit, or do you just stick it right out there and go for it?
Any prediction usually has to do with, it depends on how far out the prediction is. For example, and when I say far out, not as in woo-woo, crazy lady in a purple muumuu far out, I'm talking time-wise as far as far out. What I describe it as is that it's like looking at an object through kind of a piece of opaque glass, like somebody taking a shower through a shower door, if you will. And the closer you get to that, the more details you actually get. An example of this was that when I first started the Delphi newsletter back in March of 1993, and the reason I started the newsletter was it is so difficult if you're dealing in prophecies and predictions and what have you, to be able to mark a prediction someplace, to be able to call into a radio show and say, you know, this is what's going to occur, or put it in print so people can hit it with a stick if it's right or wrong. And in 1993, I made my first predictions about the coming Northridge quake that would occur in January of 94. And initially, when I saw the quake, I saw it somewhere in the Palmdale area, which is on just the other side of the mountain range from where Northridge was. And as we got closer to the quake, my prediction was you would see a series of fires in Los Angeles. Those occurred. And as we got closer to the quake, I actually hit the exact epicenter of the quake through a combination of, once again, remote viewing, being able to see around a few corners, if you will, and at the same time, some research into some possibilities that the quake itself might be artificially induced in order to relieve greater pressure on the San Andreas Fault. So it's, you know, it's a combination of other things. The best predictions are predictions that if I get something through remote viewing and I say, okay, if I know that this is going to be the end result and I see the event occurring, let's come up with a series of scenarios that then lead to that particular event. And also let's see if there's some way that we can either, depending on how dire the event is there some way we can warn people and actually stop the event? If it's not that dire and there's a way to divert it, is there some way that you can make wise investments to profit off, say, you know, a positive prediction, if you will. So it's all about being able to take not just the intuitive factor of it, but, you know, having the common sense and the smarts and the stick-to-itiveness to be able to research and present a body of information. And that's, I think, the great thing about the Delphi Associates as well, is that this way I get to form a consensus with people. When I do, for example, when we do remote viewing classes, the fantastic thing about the brotherhood and the fellowship in the classes is that when we're doing projections in the classes and we get we hit a target, and usually they just hit a blind target. All I ever give them is a coordinate, a set of numbers and a word or so, and I'm the only one that really knows what the target would be. We get a consensus. We get a group of people who are viewing a similar event. Looking at blind men, looking at the elephant, so to speak. Somebody gets the trunk, somebody gets the leg.
How do you know they're not reading your mind?
Gosh, good question. You know, in all remote viewing, they did another test in remote viewing in which, you know, very difficult to say. The other test in remote viewing would be is that if you had a blind target where the actual monitor in the experiment doesn't know what the target is.
Right.
And, of course, that's, you know, that works just as well. They used to give, back in the military process of this, they were giving longitudes and latitudes, and then they realized it didn't really matter what you threw out there. So as long as you had like some letters or some numbers, just like a street address, you know, 2855 Clearview Lane or something like that, it's it entrains both sides of the brain, the right and the left hand side of the brain, with numbers and with a picture. So but just the great thing about it is that, you know, I have the class, for example, when we do the map dowsing, you know, I don't front load them at all. I just simply say, you know, see what you get on the map, write it down, and we get a consensus of the class. And I'm not even real. In some cases, I'm expecting a completely different outcome that they come up with. that has to do with looking for quakes and looking for, you know, when certain events will occur.
Do you find that the accuracy rate for many people seems to be better than just one person?
It gives you more information. It's like the accuracy rate when you're viewing an RV target is better because people see things differently. For example, here's kind of an interesting aspect. Men seem to view things more visually. They will get more angles and shapes and sizes and points of view, if you will, on a target. Women, on the other hand, it is more common, and I would say for about 60, maybe 65% of women, to not pick up a visual image, but to pick up an emotional content of a target. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. They'll pick up the feelings around a target. If I do something that's a, I use a target like the Titanic, for example. They'll get a feeling of happiness and, oh, I'm partying and there's banners going off and, oh, now suddenly I'm afraid and, you know, I feel like I'm tipping over and I feel chilly and cold and because they process things through their body more, if you will. They're just more familiar, more comfortable in their own skin than men are. And that just seems to be a difference. They're more empathic in their intuition than men are, who seem to be more primarily visually oriented.
Do you still see a flat tax? Do you still see a draft coming up, military draft?
That's coming. There's a couple of things. Once again, I'll say very honestly again, my projection had been that there would be a series of things would occur in July. Their goal, and this is, let's take the psychic aspect out of it, their goal had been to have some kind of draft in place by July of this year. There are certain things kind of funny, actually, in some ways that have kind of thwarted the current administration's agenda.
Maybe the fact that you talked about it on this show.
Well, it's also, I talked about it on the show, but then, you know, you have guys like Scott Ritter, who, you know, months later actually has confirmed everything that I was talking about. He was the former, obviously, you know who Scott Ritter is, right?
Yes, yep.
Ritter, for example, kind of outed that there were a series of plans to bomb, let me tell you the kind of funny story about this, a series of plans to bomb Iran. About 3 months ago, I was contacted by these guys in Project Foresight, this lady colonel that I'd been doing remote viewing for specifically, and I was asked to view specific targets, which when I began to figure out what the targets were underground facilities that they claimed had some nuclear materials in them,
mm-hmm.
in Iran. And I had a real problem with it, and I explained this to them, that I don't think that I could morally view these targets. Because number one, we're talking about a preemptive strike. Number two, we're not talking about, you know, lives in danger. Number three, we're talking about an escalation of a conflict which would put American lives in danger. This was not hunting Osama bin Laden. This was not American troops on the ground in Afghanistan. This was not saving what I felt at that time, that even though we were in a bad situation and I don't agree with the policies, saving what I felt were American lives, which to me are more important than anything. This situation where I said no, that I wasn't going to do this, and I don't think they could get a lot of the other viewers that, from what I heard, they couldn't get the other guys to do it either. Here's where it gets funny. We gave, not sold, mind you, but gave 300 tactical, what they call Excalibur missiles, which are the drilling nukes, the bunker buster bombs.
Bunker busters.
We gave 300 of them to the Israelis, and the plan that I heard from my intelligence contacts was that the Israelis were going to be responsible for actually doing our dirty work for us, that they were going to go in and bomb these sites in Iran, and they were going to use the precedent of them going into Iraq some 15 years or so ago and bombing a nuclear facility that mm-hmm. was being developed by the Iraqis, claiming that if they had not done this, that Saddam Hussein would have been able to develop an atomic bomb. And we fully expected the cooperation of the Israelis. The Israelis, this is where it gets kind of sad and sort of weird, the Israelis turned around and sold those missiles, those tactical bunker buster bombs, to the Red Chinese. So they don't have them anymore.
All of them?
All of them. All 300 of them. Sold them to the Red Chinese. And at the same time, the Red Chinese have now just bought, in essence, a whole blue water fleet from the French, because they just bought an aircraft carrier, all the planes that went with it, 4 destroyers.
Well, and I guarantee you they've taken some of them apart and they know how they work now.
Exactly. And they have and they have Aegis defense systems, they have proprietary US military technology. And for the first time,
what's wrong with this picture,
well,
Sean?
For the first time you've heard some squeals from the Congress that they said, "Well, we can't give Israel any more weapons because the whole idea here was that between now and July 28th, that the Israelis, and it could still happen, that the Israelis were supposed to go in and blow up some sites in Iran.
Do you sometimes wonder if all this is just a game on a chessboard?
It's kind of an insane game.
It's
though.
Just weird. Yeah, it is an insane
it's even
game.
Stranger because, to prepare for this program, I also spoke to guys who are very, very high up. We're talking not just the Project Foresight guys. We're talking people that were close to Clinton, who play golf with George Tenet, who are very heavy CIA guys, guys who are advisors to the Military War College, you know, some very, very heavy dudes. And these guys call me because they've heard me on the show, and I've met them at expos. These guys come out of the woodwork to come talk to me because, you know, we're out there at the conventions. By the way, very good speech up in San Francisco. I very much enjoyed that.
Thank you.
So you did a very good job.
Where'd that come from?
It was nice to meet you for the first time because you and I had never met before. So nice speech up there. So, and these guys are, all I can tell you is that the feeling amongst the intelligence community is they are stunned and shocked and really dismayed at the course that the country is taking. Number one. Number two, and I'll give you an exact quote. We have never heard the kind of craziness that is coming out of the Oval Office ever in our 30-year careers as intelligence officers, the kind of stuff that we're being asked to do. It's also very strange, too, because the CIA are not the men in black. They're the men in gray. There are no absolutes. There are no black and whites, if you will. They're the guys where everything is sort of gray, and Bush is dealing in this very specific black and white world. And I would give you another quote.
Well, don't stray too much, though, from my remote viewing angle.
Okay, all right. So all right. What else did you want to know about the remote viewing aspect? Is this some kind of crazy game?
Yeah.
Yes, is the game. And unfortunately, what I've gleaned from these people is that for good or ill, again, Bush himself is such a believer in, I guess you would call the rapture scenario, the Tim LaHaye left behind rapture Armageddon scenario. And this comes, once again, this comes from a very, very high level official. We're talking about a guy who just came back from the White House like 5 days ago. And in my conversation with him, his exact words were that Bush is convinced that he's going to, in essence, bring on Armageddon and has no real concern about any repercussions for his actions because he, in essence, thinks he's going to single-handedly, that all of these things are leading up to the last battle and the rapture and the return of Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. I'm not going to say what I heard because, and you'll know why in just a moment. And then I want to ask you about a one world government here,
okay,
Sean. But I have a very close friend of mine who works at a facility here in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
And he told me this guy has no reason to lie to me at all or even joke about something like this. He told me that one of the president's best friends a few months ago was in town, and the two of them were talking, and my friend asked the president's friend,
yes,
about Iraq. And apparently the president's friend, and nobody knows this story, publicly at least, the president's friend was chatting with the president down on the ranch in Texas and asked him about Iraq. And the president made, and I'm not going to repeat it, because this to me is hearsay, and I just don't want to play that game. But the president apparently said something to his friend that just shocked me. It astounded me if it were true. And for a split second, I said to myself, you know what? This is like Alice in Wonderland. I mean, we're looking through the looking glass, and none of this makes any sense.
So you're not going to tell us what he said?
I can't.
Oh,
I cannot, because I want to try to verify it first.
Okay.
I'm just that kind of person, and it was just the way it was said. You know, when you've got American lives at stake there and Iraqi citizens' lives at stake.
Right.
But I will say this. My pal, my friend, who said this was told to him, would not make this story up to me. Now, did this other guy make the story up to him? I don't know.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I'm not repeating.
Well, let me tell you the last thing that this fellow said is that he was sitting in a room with these very high-level officials, and the topic came up of the 2008 elections. And the exact words that were used that if there was a substantial enough terrorist attack, and this was the question that he asked, if there was a substantial enough terrorist attack specifically against a financial center in the United States, and the thing that they are terrified of is a 2-kiloton range nuclear device on a ship. I mean, it doesn't even have to be taken off a boat. It can come from someplace else, exploded on the boat, on the dock, somewhere in downtown in the docks in New York, or one of the nation's major financial centers, that the electromagnetic pulse alone would wipe the computers and destroy the financial centers. If this was to happen, would there be the possibility of invoking Executive Order 1171 and suspending the Constitution and Bush staying? And he said there wasn't a person in that room. And these are the highest guys there were.
All right,
the person in that room who piped up to say, oh, no, that's not going to happen.
So remote view for me. What do you see? Do you see a one-world government? Do you see all this calamity happening?
As far as what Bush goes or what?
Everybody. I don't care
about
Bush.
There's a lot of stuff I can't talk about with Bush. The same kind of thing. I kind of get...
I don't want your politics. You know that. I've said that to you.
You want me to tell you what's going to happen with Bush?
No.
All right, okay. What do you want? You want to know the world government situation?
Yes.
I think that what I see is that I see, on the one hand, you have things happening all at once where you have a global government, you have attempts at establishing a three-tiered system with an Orwellian 1984 Eurasia, East Asia, Oceania type system, three currencies, their attempts to do this. At the same time, there is going to be a series of financial collapses, a series of plagues, a series of natural catastrophes that are going to come into play, which will fracture those goals at world government. However, at the same time, the military conflicts that are going to come up against the Chinese, and I've talked about what my global scenario of this whole thing has been, that the Middle East is phase one, that phase two is going to be the continued expansion and control of the Pacific by China, a war against the United States and the United States versus China that will come to the shores of the United States somewhere around 2018 or so, a movement of the federal capital of Washington, D.C. to Denver, Colorado, and that's already occurred. That's occurring. The CIA is now spending $30 million to relocate, and this just happened in the last 3 months, to relocate all of their domestic operations out of Washington into Denver. So what do they know that nobody else does?
Well, maybe that's smart.
It's also the EPA is moving to Denver. You have big chunks of the Internal Revenue Service moving to Denver. You've got all these people moving out to Denver.
It's where the shadow government's supposed to be.
And if you had a shadow government, exactly, and if you had one medium-range dirty bomb go off at the Capitol building and wipe out 6 square city blocks, you know Washington, D.C. is only 10 square miles, that would facilitate, again, that Denver is the secondary federal capital as chosen by Eisenhower. It's where Crystal Palace and NORAD is. There's a whole series of underground tunnel systems and trains that link NORAD with SAC, that link it to 51, that link it to Dulce, that link it to Edwards, all across the western part of the United States. And in essence, this is where the last great war against the Chinese is fought. There is a form of global regional government that comes around. However, what eventually happens, once again, let's take it to the end game. The end game is that between 2034 and 2039, after all of these wars have played themselves out, after the wars of man versus man, or Satan versus man, or the Antichrist versus man, there are the wars of God versus man, cosmic events, if you will, meteors, earthquakes, what have you, that humanity deals with. And at the end of this whole thing is the light at the end of the tunnel is the return of the Messiah. And there is a messianic figure that's either born in 2034 and takes control as a small child of some sort of spiritually based government worldwide in approximately 2039. And this comes directly out of the time coding in the sacred geometry of the Great Pyramid of Giza. And it has a whole 7,000-year pattern that shows the evolution of the downward path, the middle path, and the upper path of ascension, and the whole next 1,000-year age, which is called the Messianic Age by the Great Pyramid.
So many people, Sean, want to know what to do with their finances. Let's talk about some of your predictions, what you see for the future with that. Hey, the one great thing about FastBlast, the one great thing, because there are many, but one of them, I get instantaneous results and questions and things, and thousands of you want to know what's going to happen to the Bush administration. So when we come back, Sean, tell us. Back in a moment. We're going to open up the phone line so you can chat with Sean David Morton next hour. Those of you who are flooding the phone banks now, do not call because the phones will not get answered. Well, Sean, they all want to know about what your predictions are. So have at it, old boy.
I should tell my story if I make you tell your story. I still want to know what the guy said.
But, I know. Maybe I'll tell you later.
All right. Let me. As far as the Bush administration goes, there's just things I can't say on the radio without guys showing up at my door and knocking on my door, guys in black suits. You know the guys I'm talking about. I do not see Bush finishing his presidency. I guess that would be the best way to put it. I've been saying from the get-go that the plan has always been to run Hillary Clinton in 2008. You know, I joke about the fact that she could never be president because the minute she put her hand on the Bible, she'd burst into flames. Jeb Bush as the Republican Party candidate, 2008. I don't know. Can we handle 3 Bushes practically in a row? The only way I see Hillary winning in 2008 would be if there was some really, really deadly serious third party candidate like a Ross Perot appearing from out of nowhere again.
A stronger Ross Perot.
I said
a stronger Ross Perot.
Yeah, somebody not as crazy. Anyway, another thing I'm doing,
a remote viewer or a political commentator?
I'm just saying that, well, that was my opinion. I'm sorry. Mr. Perot is probably a very nice man. Let me just tell you just a couple of quick things here, and I'll just go. What I'll do is I'll fly through all of these predictions here, okay?
Right.
On the 13th of every month now, what we're going to do is that we're going to do an MP3 wave download, which will be like a kind of a fireside chat or so people can actually go to the website and download an MP3 that'll be about 90 minutes or so. That'll just be us doing, doing maps and doing predictions. And so that's going to be on the 13th of every month, July 13th. We're going to have the MP3 wave download.
It'll be there,
on the website.
Done, automatic, right?
Yeah, it'll be like a monthly fireside chat of things that are going on. Because the newsletter, the Delphi Associates newsletter, is article driven, if you will, and it doesn't allow us to. Obviously, I'm on with you probably. Well, gosh, it's been like 10 months now. My fault, by the way. You've asked me on the show.
That's true.
I was not anybody's fault. I was working on a book. I had some film projects that were going on. So I want to really apologize to you and apologize to the audience for being gone for so long. It will not happen again. I'll try to get on about every, 2 or 3 months or so, or as much as you'll have me. The number for the newsletter, if you want to order it, is 888-452-7999. 888-452-7999. It's $60 for a 12-issue subscription. It's a magazine. We have no advertisements, 16 pages. We also have an online PDF newsletter online for $35. We've also got Timelines of the Bible Code, which is a DVD. It was filmed live at the UFO World Congress, which is a lecture I did on the Bible Code with the help of Joseph Noah, his book, Future Prospects of the World According to the Bible Code. Great tool, an amazing tool for prophecy, which is a gang of fun. So 888-452-7999 is the number for the newsletter. The newsletter you have to have today because it tells you all about tomorrow. We are, by the way, we've got about 20,000 paid subscribers. We've got about 30,000 over the internet, and so we actually have more subscribers than Mountain Astrologer, Fate Magazine, and I think 40 and Times combined. So we're
good for you.
We're actually like the number one New Age metaphysical newsletter now in the world.
Just got to keep that prediction rate up there.
I'm trying. Okay, let me try to blaze through as many of these things because I want to get to people's calls.
Calls are next hour.
Okay. Let me just see. Interest rates. Let's talk about. And by the way, this newsletter. People that ordered this newsletter. This is my Money Matters financial issue newsletter. This will have all the details on the stock predictions. An article I sent you was from a buddy of mine, Nicholas Winton, who's an analyst out of Canada.
Right. He's good.
The Canadian press has said my predictions have been astounding, miraculous, I think is what they call them. So he's done some analysis on the stocks I predicted on this show, specifically talking about Google, talking about XM Satellite Radio, talking about Apple, talking about Pixar. All the things that I've recommended here that have gone through the roof, and from the article I sent you, you can see the charts as to where I've predicted them and then where they've gone from there, and it's just been stupendous. So Let me try to blaze through as much of this stuff as possible. I'm going to have to talk fast in order to get it into the time allotted. Interest rates, they're not going to go up any more than 2%. We've actually seen the end of the interest rate hikes for the time being for the Federal Reserve. If we have any more than a 2% escalation of interest rates
where
they're at right now is about where they're going to stay for about the next 6 months or so. There's a fluctuation ratio here of about 2%. They cannot go up any more than 2% because whole sections of the economy are going to collapse.
All
unfortunately,
right.
Overseas investors are fleeing the United States and putting most of their money into Asia. The Chinese have now bought the whole PC division of IBM. I don't know if people realize this or not, but not only as a military but an economic threat, the Red Chinese now own 40% of the mortgages in the United States, on the houses and the mortgages. And how they've done this is they've gone through dummy companies that are run out of Panama and through a whole series of dummy fronts in the United States. Not only do they own a large majority of our T-bills, but they now own 40% of the homes and home mortgages in the U.S.
And you know what? It's our money.
And they're doing it to us with our cash.
Yeah.
Exactly. Once again, what else do I got in here? All right, in 18 months, and this is a whole analysis that I'm running in the newsletter now, in 18 months before 2008, we're talking about February of 2008, they've got to put a massive amount of money back into the market specifically, because the beginning of my downward trend in a lot of these stocks, I kept talking about the fall of 2005 where everything hits a wall. The crash of 1929 didn't really hit the economy of the entire world until the federal government went bankrupt in 1933. So it begins in 2005. There's about a 14-month period through there where you have a massive roller coaster ride. And this is one of the reasons why they're going after Social Security. They want to take this big chunk of Social Security, put it back in the banks, because they have to have that money in order to shore up most of the markets.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. I talked about...
How about gold?
I'm sorry?
Gold.
Okay. My projection for gold right now is... let me see. I'm just looking at my notes here. My projection for gold is to be approximately $525 by January 06. And here's the best investment. I have never, by the way, on this program over the last few years, been a big gold bug. I've been more of a fan of silver,
mm-hmm.
and have told people there were ways to make much more money in the stock market the way it was playing. So if gold is going to 525 by January of 06, a couple of things you can do. You can buy the Swiss franc, which is, and by the way, you have some excellent gold funds that you advertise on your show, which are fantastic. I've used some of them myself. The Swiss franc is directly monetized and is completely backed by gold. There is what's known as the Swiss Helvetica, which is a gold coin that's sold at 0.1867 troy ounces, and it's only sold 8% over melt price, and it's an actual classic Swiss coin. That's sold by a company called Stanford Coins and Bullion. I'm going to have a bunch of information about them in the newsletter. A 5-cent move on the Swiss franc would represent, if you play the arbitrage markets, a 500% profit, as profits and losses in the currency markets are multiplied by almost 100. So if by hook or by crook, and this is another interesting thing, here's not a psychic prediction, but something these Pentagon guys told me. They told me two things, the first of which was wrong. We'll see what the second thing was. The first one, they said the fix was in with what was going on with France joining the EU, and that the French would pass the European Constitution. Well, that didn't happen. And I think it didn't happen because it wasn't close enough for them to be able to sort of jury-rig the election, if you will. But now France is going to be blackmailed. One of the biggest things about oil is that they have a plan. There's four major companies right now that want to privatize all the oil coming out of Iraq. And if they privatize that oil, the goal is to basically just turn the spigot off to France to punish them for not joining the EU, for having a moderate view on the Middle East, and for not getting involved in the war, which is another way, a club that's going to be used against France for them to sign the EU Constitution.
Interesting.
Historically speaking, the Europeans hate each other's guts. They do not get along, and historically speaking, the European Union should crumble and fall apart. However, market forces that are driving the cohesion means that if they pass the European Constitution, if they actually club France and most of the Netherlands into doing this, then the potential gains of the EU, the euro, going up against the dollar, could be a profit of 10,000%, or more within 6 months of the ratification of that treaty.
10,000%?
10,000% profit potential. Remember, when you're dealing in monetary stuff, a minor flux in currencies, a 5-cent flux one way or another would be a 500% profit when you're actually dealing with certain types of currencies.
So you're saying if you put 10 grand into something,
right,
which you're going to lend me 9,000.
Of course.
But if you put $10,000 into something and you had a 10,000% increase,
yeah,
you're talking about millions.
That's crazy. Yeah. And the U.S., and once again, this is if you play the euro markets. Now, I can tell you also the second thing that these military guys told me was that the euro was going to go to $2, two U.S. dollars against the U.S. dollar. It's floating at about between 125 and about 130 right now. But if that, in fact, happens by the fall, as they have projected, that the euro goes to two U.S. dollars, then, again, by investing in euros versus dollars and getting your money out of dollars now because of...
Well, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett have done that, too.
Yes, and Gates has invested in a couple of really interesting minor stocks that I'm going
Is it, though? It seems to me, though, Sean, if you do that, it's unpatriotic. Isn't it?
Well, I'm not sure.
I mean, it's on one sense, you're talking about smart business. You want to make money.
Right.
On the other hand, to me, if you take your money out of dollars and put it somewhere else, to me, it sounds almost unpatriotic.
I don't know what to say about that. I'm just saying from the financial standpoint of people that are ready for what's going to happen, what is going to occur is that within 18 months, you will see a massive change in the economic system of the United States. And what is going to happen is going to be, and I have seen this with my own eyes. I went to Amsterdam about 3 months ago on a business trip, and I was taken into a vault, and I saw cases of these new hundreds and $100 bills that are going to be used as part of a two-tiered monetary currency system where the U.S. is actually going to print, well, they've already printed, there's about $60 billion worldwide that's being stored in Amsterdam, Berlin, France, New York, specifically New Jersey, and this is going to be a money system where when they create a two-tiered money system, specifically, this two-tiered money system is going to be that if you have an offshore account and you take money out of the United States, that money now has to be changed into a different currency that the government has printed called redbacks. And these red-backed currency notes, which, as I said, I saw cases of them in Amsterdam getting ready to go in.
When you say you saw them for real?
I saw them for real. They opened up a case and said, here they are.
You didn't remote view this?
No, I was an Amsterdam banker, walked me into a vault and said, these are sitting here, they're the property of the Federal Reserve, and they're going to be used when they hyperinflate the currency later this year.
Interesting.
And I thought,
that's another prediction.
I'm sorry?
That's another prediction.
Well, it's not so much a prediction. It's something that I've been saying that 2005, and once again, this is the difference between years ago, my making these predictions for this period of time, to my doing the due diligence and doing the investigative reporting to be able to get into something and understand how it's going to work, and then looking at all the facts that then back up that prediction, which is what I call just good investigation. The aspect of this is with the two-tiered money system, the hyperinflation, within 18 months, the USA changes into this economic fascist state. There's going to be a script that's only going to be usable inside the USA. Offshore accounts are going to have to be redeemed in this script if they want to bring it back into the country.
Of us don't have offshore accounts.
Well, I'm saying that for people that do, and there's a lot of very, very wealthy people that subscribe to my newsletter and also listen to your show.
You
cut yourself short.
Do you have an offshore account?
There's a lot of people. I do, yes.
You do?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I could trust having my money in one of these things.
Well, it depends on where you do it and depends on how it works. Let me get to the rest of these here. So China launders money through the Panama Canal. All right, we talked about gold.
It's like you're squirming on that.
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
No, I'm just babbling.
We talked about oil, okay, at $65 to $70 a barrel, all right? If that continues at this rate, which I believe it is.
What is it, 61 now, I guess, right?
Right. Remember when we were talking and I was telling you it was going to go to 50 and you're like, oh, I don't think it'll go that high.
I don't think I said that exactly, but I did have my doubts in you.
The Bilderbergers met. These are the group of the wealthiest people in the world who all meet at this hotel, and they decided that they could get away with oil at $150 a barrel by some point next year. When the wealthiest people in the world say this, people should start listening. If that means that with oil, if oil stays at this rate now, which I believe it will, $65 to $70 a barrel in oil means that Canadian dollars are going to soar through the roof because there's huge oil reserves in Canada specifically in Western Canada around Calgary, that are very, very difficult to get at. And all of these oil reserves now will mean that Art Laffer, who was a professor and friend of mine at USC, the Laffer curve and all this, Art was the one who said, well, it's going to go back down to $25 a barrel because it's going to be supply and demand. I disagree, but at the same time, all this oil that's going to be hard to get is going to start coming out of the ground around Calgary, around Alberta, around these areas. The Canadian dollar is going to soar because of that, because they have these huge oil reserves that are kind of hard to get. Let me give you some specific stocks here, too.
Go.
I really like Caterpillar tractors right now. Caterpillar, this is a stock you need to get in on right away. It's going to split on July 14th.
Has that been announced?
Yes, it's been announced already. It's going to split on July 14th. Its annual earnings report is going to be July 21st. I think the earnings report is going to be way up. I think it's going to be very good news. It's going to split, which means it's going to be very affordable. People are going to be able to get into the stock at probably between $40 and $50 a share. And I see by the end of the year, the post-split stock going back up to about $100 in the 95 to 100 range by the end of the year. Why?
Why, yeah.
Because the trend now, number one, if gold is going up, people are going to need machinery to be able to move it. Number two, if there are going to be earthquakes and a lot of destruction, it means that people are going to need Caterpillar tractors to be able to rebuild. Number three, you've got all this building that's going on in China, that's going on in Asia. Cat tractors are, they're set to be able to move in anytime you have high gold prices and anytime you have a period of where there could be destruction from tsunamis or earthquakes or what have you. Cat tractor is going to be there because you're going to need heavy equipment to move things. Once again, looking at a trend and trying to then profit from things that are moving into that trend. Number two, Texas Instruments, very good, because Texas Instruments has two really cool technologies that have just come out. As a matter of fact, the first one is called a Slingbox device.
What's that?
And Slingbox just hit the shelves, I think, about 2 days ago, and they've already sold out. A Slingbox device is going to outstrip MoxieBox or TiVos. It will allow you to project TV or cable and turn any computer in your house that's connected to the internet into a live TV.
That'll be hot.
And it's already flying off the shelves. Also, Texas Instruments is actually, this is very proprietary technology. It's probably going to take a few years down the pipe, but they're working on one of the coolest things I've ever seen. It's a holographic television set where it's a big box that looks like a Barbie dream house, sort of, if you will, with the top taken off.
And the figurines stand out.
And the hologram, actually, you watch a ball game actually inside the box with actual three-dimensional basketball games or football
games.
It's
like you're there.
What have you. XM Satellite Radio, this is one of my huge buys. When I talked to Art about this years ago, and I talked about Art's possible involvement, your involvement in this, your show going out on satellite. The reason XM, I think, is a good buy right now is that I think Sirius is going to tank. I think they've made a huge mistake with Howard Stern. I don't think that's where the market is going. I think it's going away from that and moving more into your type of radio. But I think that XM Satellite Radio is going to do well. Also, here's one other interesting thing. And I'm going to make some predictions about the hurricanes as well. Hurricane Dennis right now that is getting ready to pound down in Florida. I think it's going to peter out. I see another system actually coming into Dennis or hitting Dennis. And having it miss the move along the eastern coast of Florida up into mostly Texas, which means that orange futures, people should buy oranges now because it means that the orange crops are not going to be affected by the first set of hurricanes. Excuse me.
How about that?
The first set of hurricanes. Pixar is a good buy. Pixar is down 14% now because bad sales on The Incredibles, not bad sales, but down sales on The Incredibles. But Pixar is still going to be one of the premier film and animation companies. And you got Walmart, 86% profit last year. They also, strangely enough, own the bonds on most of the prisoners in the United States.
That's true. You are a wealth of information. Stay with us. Sean David Morton, more of his predictions and your calls.